so excited about our guest teacher this morning, Pastor Milton Harding. He is the founder of Agape Solutions, the Greek word for God's unconditional love. He has been serving the body of Christ for over 30 years. And he was the chaplain of the Washington, one time named Washington Redskins, now the Washington Commanders. He has specialized on discipleship in the church with men, marriages, and family. And he's done our men's retreat several years ago. He taught at Fuel for an extended period of time. Milton, come on over here. And I want you to let you know, you've got a treat. Back in the foyer when you leave today, he wrote a devotional called Unconditional Love. Fantastic devotion for you to pick up, and a couple of resources for men. Men Applied Within. So it's a devotional there. And also something called Adam, Where Are You? And so again, focusing on the importance of godly men in the home. Let's give Milton a warm welcome.
Thank you. Coming this morning. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
God bless you, man.
All right.
Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Rest in Bible. How are you all this morning? I came on a day when you all were having a little family chat. I love that. That was great. Oh, where's Bruce? Yeah. You know what? We need more of that in the body of Christ. Amen? That's not loud enough. Amen? Yeah. My father used to say the only one that the difference between a major operation and a minor operation is the person that's getting it. And so be on time, folks. Let's not have to say that again. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the book of Jude. We're going to continue in the series. I am so excited to be here with you this morning. I woke my wife up far earlier than she needed to be up to make sure we were on time. So we've been sitting in the parking lot since about 4:30. So, and the marriage is still intact, I want you to know. So I'm excited to be here with you all this morning, and I know she is too. I don't need to tell you all. Did I tell you to turn the book of Jude? Okay. And for those of you who are in search of that, it's right, the book right before Revelations, an easy find, an easy do. I won't ask any questions from here this morning. That will be difficult. I'm going to throw a lot of softballs to you and just need you to talk back to me when you have the answer. Amen? Okay. So I don't need to tell you that the culture, and let's be careful how we just identify the culture, because we can say the culture is horrible. How many of you all know that the culture is pretty jacked up? Yeah, well, let me instruct you as to how the culture got jacked up. According to Ezra in chapter 9, God says, I'm not too particularly happy with the ways of the people in the land, and he says that they are abominations. The people are unclean, and thus the culture is unclean. So now, if you follow that line of thinking from our Lord and Savior, the culture gets jacked up because the people are jacked up. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that they're jacked up. If you know them well enough. And even if you don't tell them, that doesn't mean that they're not, because they are. It's hard to be in the culture and not have it impact your life. It's almost impossible. How it impacts is up to you, and that's what I want to talk about, and that's what Jude would say. Jude is saying, listen, we're living in a time now, as much as I want to talk about our common faith, I feel compelled, and certainly it is the fire of my heart this morning, to speak this contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. Your faith. My faith. It's not one of these things we can just show up at church on Sunday morning and think things are well. We've got about 10 million pounds worth of problems, and we're not going to solve it with 10-minute devotion. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, four of you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so what I'm saying is, it is obvious to me, and I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but for the church's role in the culture, we're to be light and salt. We're not supposed to change anybody's life. We're not supposed to hog tie and collar and draw people. All we're supposed to do is be light and salt. God and his word and his Holy Spirit does it all, from soup to nuts. But we've just got to be the light to point to the path, the way that the culture should be going in. Remember, Israel was set in the land, so that people would know that there is a God. And so, I'm going to preach in just a minute. So, the church is not to be taking a stance in this culture with drawn swords dealing with social issues and political issues. How many of you know we've spent a ton of time doing that? Five of you know that. Where have you all been? My goodness. Listen. Sadly to say, the church is spending too much time dealing with social and political issues. God hadn't called us to that. You can't even find Jesus carrying a placard in any kind of protest in the land when he walked this, on this earth. I'm open to seeing it and reading it if you can show it to me. So if we're supposed to be Christ-like, then we have to get our instructions and our guidance from somewhere else. And that's where I come into you today. So, well, let's go to Jude. And then what I want to do is use the Jude 1 as a stepping stone. And then we're going to switch over to Matthew 6 in just a second. So he says in Jude, and it was a verse that we read together in our scripture response. And I'm going to read a few more. Let's start in Jude chapter 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. By the way, I'm reading out of the New American Standard in case you want to follow along. To those who are the called, beloved in God, the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity, which is that inward conviction, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. So, and I'll stop there. So, and then while I'm talking here now, you can switch over to Matthew chapter 6, because what I'd like to do is lay a little foundation of what each of us as individual believers, as a part of the body of Christ, what we should be doing on a regular basis. Folks, brothers and sisters, beloved, we cannot keep doing church like we've been doing church. Yeah, I mean, if you're real with yourself, if you're legit, the messages that come off of this pulpit on Sunday morning should be supplementary to what you're doing on a regular basis. Yeah. Somebody said a real strong amen here, so it feels like you're hearing me. Yeah, we've got, it can't be just, I'm going to come and eat this sermon and I'm going to be good for Monday through Saturday. No, you got to be feeding on a regular basis on the Word of God. And so, did I tell you to turn to Matthew chapter 6? Okay, what I want to do is just lay a little foundation of what this contending for the faith might look like. Whenever you're going to contend for something, you're going to be in a battle. Unfortunately, the church doesn't realize she's in a battle. I don't even think she realized that we're hemorrhaging pretty well with some wounds that we are suffering. You know, they tell me in the culture that black people can't get along with white people, and white people can't get along with black people, and Asian people can't get along with, and then Hispanic people can't. Is anybody hearing that other than me? Four people? What culture are you all living in? Listen, let me say this to you. Don't fall for that foolishness, because that's all it is. When I looked, especially out here and where I came from before I got here this morning, we have a human problem, not an ethnicity problem. Yeah. Okay. So Matthew chapter 6. I get a little excited about this because I'm not interested in just telling you about the Word of God. I believe there's some real joy and some fruit in living it. It changed my life. Nobody stops shoving cocaine up their nose and smoking pot and doing a lot of drinking without the Holy Spirit. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. This is that pious crowd. You all don't have a clue of what I'm talking about. Yeah. I put the P in promiscuity because I didn't know Jesus. But then Jesus came. And I'm telling you, it is not about an intellectual capturing of this word. This word is powerful, and it will change your ever-loving life. Amen. Yes, if you want it to, yeah. Yeah, but we got to be hungry and thirsty for it. We're just not hungry and thirsty for it. We'd rather have MSNBC and CNN and all of those, CBS and ABC. And I know I'm meddling now because it got real quiet in here. Yeah, we'd rather have those in our system far too much and, rather than the Word of God. So did I tell you to turn to Matthew? Chapter 6, I'm just laying a little groundwork here. Matthew chapter 6, and I just want to look at a few verses here. Verse 19 is where we're going to start. And I want you to incorporate this into your system. If you don't already have a system of feeding yourself on the Word of God, I want to try to help with that this morning. Matthew 6 and chapter 6 and verse Did I tell you 19? Okay, good, good. You all keeping up then. All right, here we go. Jesus spoke these words. Not that they are any more heightened than the ones that Paul spoke, but we have Jesus coming out of Jesus' mouth. Paul is writing by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Peter, James, any of them writing by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I tend to throw my antennas up a little bit more. Not to say, but just because Jesus is speaking. Listen at what he says. Did I tell you Matthew chapter 6? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let that sink in a little bit. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Let's take that like a throat lozenger right now. Let's just like it's a breath mint. Let that settle in your spirit. I'll read it once again. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Some of the translations say mammon. But I want you to think real quickly here about wealth as being everything that we consider wealth. Example, whether it be cars, whether it be bank accounts, whether it be whatever that is. It all comes from the ground. Everything we have comes from the earth. That was God's design. The chair you're sitting in this morning came from, all of the elements of that chair came from the earth. Does anybody follow? Okay. So we take those things for granted, but they did. They all came from the earth. So when we talk about what's wealth, what would you prefer to have? The fruit off the tree or the ground that produced the fruit or the tree? You tracking with me a little bit here? Okay. Interesting enough, the tribes received land. And then God would make the land do what it do. I'm sorry, you're that crowd. Do what it does. Yeah. So, clean that up for you. So, Jesus says this. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:19. And I want you to understand, and let's try to get our mind around it. The first thing I want you to do, it's important to know what treasure is. Do not store up for yourselves on earth treasures. And brothers and sisters all around us, that's what's happening. If truth be known and we get right down to it and we get serious about it right in this building, right in this room, we too store up for ourselves treasures. Now, I want to take you off the material part of that and put it on the spiritual part of that. What it is that we treasure, our mind, when the scripture speaks of the mind, it is talking about the heart, where we make decisions, what our emotions are, what our affections are, our career pursuits. All of that is embodied in the heart, okay? And so when we think of the mind, and we also think about the mind being the container of our thoughts, that's where we store our thoughts. And we put thoughts in our minds, and we allow other resources to put thoughts in our minds. And we somehow derive wealth from that. Are you all tracking with me so far? Because this is a smart crowd, I can tell. You all even have anointed nods. Yeah. So in light of that, in Matthew 19:21, from 19 through 21, he says, be careful how you store and what you store. So you got to know what treasure is. And you understand that it is at the base. If you think about idols, and the Bible speaks about idols. How many of you know what an idol is? I don't want to make sure. Okay, got it. Yeah. Okay. So idols. Idols come from where? They do come from the earth. But I just told you that, right? You're exactly right. You're paying attention over there. Yeah, but the idols that we create come from our mind. Then we go to the earth and create them. You all follow me here? So you thought of that in your mind, and then you manifested it with your efforts. Remember when the golden calf showed up? It was in somebody's head. Just like we store wealth from our head. So it's what is it that we're feeding our spirit? Listen. So if the seat of our thought is the heart, our heart, the thoughts, all that we put into our thoughts, opinions come out of our thoughts. And we value opinions. We really value our opinion. Those chuckles mean amen. That's the same as saying amen. Yeah, because you all know we do value our opinion. We value them. So what does it become? It becomes a treasure to you. Our opinion becomes a treasure. But most often than not, the thing that we falter on, and I want to put the charge to this church, I am not trying to challenge you, because I found out, guess what? The Word of God was not written to challenge us. It was written to change us. Yeah, and it will if we let it. And so, if our thoughts are not edified by truth, we create our own. If our thoughts are not edified by truth, we create our own thoughts, and we will live by those thoughts. Some of you in here this morning have a fortress around some thinking that you've been doing for years, and that thinking is just as faulty, it's just as rotten, but you won't get rid of it because you know it, and guess what? You value it. And then along comes truth. Okay. Don't get too quiet on me in here. So when we look at Paul talks about it over in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. He talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So that's the treasure of the Word of God is in us. Psalm 105 in verse 105. The psalmist is capturing that same thought that the Word of God, that's what our light is. And if you don't get anything else from what I'm saying to you today, I want you to take the Word of God and make it your thought system. Because if you truly came to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you truly belong to Him, that's the trade-off. That's the trade-off for what you were thinking before you came to Christ and what you ought to think after you come to Christ. And you can tell, you can spot where your thinking comes from. All you have to do is wait and let somebody what? It's too easy. Let somebody talk. You let them talk long enough, they'll tell you exactly what their belief system is. They'll tell you whether it's coming out of their flesh, whether it's coming out of the Word of God. And when you know when it's coming out of the Word of God, you'll resonate with it because the Word of God is in you. And the Spirit brings that together. Amen. Say amen. You're getting too quiet on me. Okay. So you first have to know what treasure is. What is it that I need to put in my heart? Because there's a lot of stuff out there. And so look at verse 22, if you will. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. The Word of God is light. The Word of God is light. It says it in John's Gospel, chapter 1. So, and Jesus says later on, I am the light of the world. So listen, the Word of God is light. Whatever that system is that we have in us, and some of you all today need to change, because you have a political foundation in your thinking, you have a social foundation. I mean, Lord God, do you think we're going to resolve social issues? No. You know why we're not going to resolve social issues? Because we have people in them. Absolutely. Let the Word of God be your system of thinking. Listen, know what is treasure. Know what treasure is. What treasure is the Word of God. Knowing what is treasure is what we take in. If your eye, which is called by in the scripture, your eye lets light into the body. I want you to think of this. The eye of your understanding of your soul receives whatever it is it's bringing to your spirit. So if you sit up and read, has anybody ever heard the phrase CRT, BLM, replacement theory? Our eyes drink that philosophy in on a constant basis. If you plug into it enough, that will begin to shape and mold your thinking. Do you know people who speak from a very political or patriotic perspective? But not from a, I mean, talking about Christians now, but not from a Jesus perspective? Oh, let me correct that. Just so you know, put this down. Jesus doesn't have a perspective. He is truth. He doesn't need a perspective. I mean, I need you to hear that now, because it all begins in absolute. I'd rather have absolute any day than some of this garbage that's fallen out of the air. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul writes and says, you know, see that no one captures you by vain philosophies. And I just listed some. And if you have hung your coat on any of that mess I just listed, this is a time to come clean with God. And you can't build an argument from vain philosophies, elementary principles of the world, of this earth, of this world system. Yeah, yeah. And it's full of it. It's shock full of it. Has anybody noticed lately? This is not a political statement. Has anybody noticed lately? It doesn't really matter what side of the political aisle you're on. Because for me, it seems like there's a whole lot of garbage on both sides. Can I say that in here? Too late. Okay, so what I'm saying, why not ride with truth? The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. You can get it steadily from the Word of God. Now, don't get yourself fooled up, because Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says that the Word of God is active and alive. So if you're getting it from there, from the Word of God, and you're just storing it here, you didn't get all of the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit brings that too, and He makes you active and alive. You'll be active and alive in your conversation. And listen, men, I've got some resources out there for you. But listen, you ought to set the example on your dinner table, around your dinner table. Speak that thing into your family. And wives, okay. Thank you, and enough said, okay. Okay. So, but I want to say that, because that's the way God designed that thing, so it can flow through the whole house. Even if homeboy's going off to the war for 25 years, and you're there with the children, the philosophy, the biblical direction for that home ought to be in place, and that wife ought to be speaking the same thing that her husband would have said if he'd been there. Now, that's not popular in today's culture. Somebody say, ooh. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so if we can bind to those philosophies somehow, that makes us not have to really worry about being submissive. I wasn't even going to preach on this, but this is not. I'm there now. So listen. When these philosophies come, the world is trying to teach us, let's throw out all authority. And we don't know why policemen are being shot. We don't know why people are doing these mass murders across the land. Let me tell you something. According to Matthew, Jesus says, in this time, see that you're not misled and see that you're not afraid, because men's hearts are going to grow cold. Loveless hearts. And guess what? The church is the only organism that has unconditional love. And we can't even seem to get it right inside our walls. How in the world can we expect the culture to see? The problems that we have in the land is the church. Because for whatever reason, we figured out a way to help God with how we want to do Jesus. Oh, I'm going to preach over here, because y'all getting it over here. Yeah, yeah. We listen to the culture tell us how to live Jesus. We listen to the culture try to force feed down our throats as children of God that we do need. Do you realize we got more bathrooms in classrooms than we have classrooms in the school? Where is that foolishness coming from? It's not coming from the Word of God. I created them, male and female. And don't you dabble on the shores of any other philosophy that says it's different. And bear the name Christian. Okay. Ooh, you all got way too quiet. Listen, Romans 12:2 gives us a great setting for how to do that. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, meaning the world system, but be transformed, how? by renewing your mind. Because see, if you don't renew your mind on the Word of God, you'll come up with idols in there. And you'll value how you spend your time. I suspect in a crowd this size, there's probably a set of clubs somewhere in a closet. Oh, I'm meddling there. I know I am, but that there's been some value placed on. Yeah, all I'm saying, that's just one example. All I'm saying is this. What is it that you value in your thinking? What is your source for feeding your thinking? Are you eating at the Lord's table 24/7? And that's what you got to do, especially this day and time, because there's some stuff out there. And the Word of God anchors us. It anchors us. Isaiah, you can look this up, write it in later. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, I believe it is, he says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, darkness light and light darkness, bitter sweet and sweet bitter. Woe to them. That's a statement to us. What it says it right there in the scriptures. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear and your whole body will be full of light. To get clear eyes, it's not that stuff you squirt. But to get clear eyes, it's the Word of God. That's what gives you clear eyes. Now the other translations will say healthy. Healthy eyes. Your spirit has to be healthy. Else your body will bog down. Listen. So he says, as he goes on, if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? How great is the darkness? What are you feeding your spirit on that's consistently that has caused your light to have great darkness to it? Because that won't sell. You can't advance it. It won't change lives. Let me continue here. Listen, let me tell you something. I have just one page of notes, but I got 3,000 verse references on it. So bear with me just a little bit. So know what is your treasure, and then know who the Lord of your treasure is. If you have not allowed Jesus to be Lord, not make him Lord, because he's already Lord, then surrender. Today is the day of repentance for you. Well, what does it mean? It means that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and will. And those two systems are at work in us on a daily basis. And we're supposed to keep our minds and hearts clear of the stuff that easily entangles us. We can get caught. All you need to do is see a headline or hear something on TV. And you get the thing and run it back so you can hear it again. Can we do the Word of God like that? Yeah. Okay. And so he says, you're going to hate one and love the other. You're going to despise one or be devoted to the other. And think about it. When you have the world system running in you and you have the Word of God running in you, that's exactly what's going to happen. And you're going to have to make a choice between what God says and what the world says. Now, before we put too much blame on the world, this flesh, it desires what it wants to desire. And we are oftentimes, we feed it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, oftentimes we feed our flesh. What? Because it wants it. Just like if our children want chocolate cake at breakfast, we give it to them, right? But flip that over, and if our flesh wants something, we will make strides to see that it has it, even though we know it's not good for us. Most of the things that we desired and wanted the most that was just lustful stuff ends up right in the dump. So we can put some more stuff where it came from. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, okay. You're shaking your head in a very anointed way. Yeah. So that's what it is, because our flesh is never satisfied. Never satisfied. We always want more and more. Do you know, I have an iPhone. I don't even know the number. But my wife used to have a flip phone. They have iPhones 13s now, I think it is. What is the latest level? Is it 13? There's going to be a 3013 in the way we're going. Why? Because we're never satisfied. It's got to do a little bit more. I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's what Jesus says. You got to go with that. You got to go with that. I am so tired of Christians trying to act like they're Christians rather than allowing the Word of God to reveal himself through them. There's a difference. You don't have to put out that effort. You just got to eat it. And somehow we struggle with that. Okay, listen. He says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. As the praise team comes, I want you to stay. How many of you all realize today is a little different than what we normally do? I may not ever come back, but I don't care. I got to do what I'm... I may not ever be asked to come back, but I want you to stand right where you are. I do. I want you to stand. We're going to end a little bit different today. We're going to end a little bit different today. And this is for you all as individuals. If you can't stand, if there's a reason, that's fine too. But I do want you to stand. I want you to get very personal and intimate about what you've heard this morning from God. Not from me. Forget what you've heard out of me, but from God, the spirit of what you've heard. And I want you to apply that to your own heart and be real with yourself. Be real with God. Don't worry about me. You can lie to me and I'm fine. Many churches and churchgoers do that every Sunday morning. Yeah, they show up and they put that face on. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, not you all, but I mean, you know of churches. But I want you to be very real with this because I'm going to pray for us right now. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place right now. I thank you for the tenderness of it. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I know that their hearts open to you right now. So Lord, have your way. You've been invited in. Show them, reveal yourself to them in a mighty way. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Milton, I've been mixed up in my thinking. I've gotten too far down the road on my social or political thoughts. My fleshly thoughts. If that's you in this place this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand right where you are. Be real with the Lord. Know what's going on in your own heart. All over the sanctuary. Go ahead and put it up. Don't be afraid. Tell the Lord, hey, you know what? I know I'm not thinking biblically. I'm not thinking scripturally. Father God, you see those hands that are raised before you, and I ask right now, as they've come to you in a genuine way, Lord, that you would just meet them where they are. Father, we know that your burden upon us is light. Your yoke is easy. Lord, draw them to yourself this morning that you might minister to them and change them before they leave this building. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Milton, you know, that all sounds good, but I don't know that I remember a time that I consciously gave my life to the Lord, that I intentionally accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he is God. I believe that God raised him from the dead, that he died on the cross for my sins, but I don't know that I have personally received that, accepted that free gift. All over this sanctuary, and everyone else is praying. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. I want to pray with you that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All over this sanctuary. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how long you've been with Christians. Have you not given your life to Jesus Christ? That's who I'm in search of right now. And so, Father God, you know the hearts of those who have just dealt with that question. And Father, I pray now that as we come collectively before you, that you would draw us to you. Draw us to you that we might be vulnerable, transparent before you. And live the way you've called us. Help us to contend for the very faith that you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen.